Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3. Hello, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Darren Moser, along with my fellow dreamers, Philip Gilfus and Daniel Prue. Now, today we are going to be continuing our jaunt through the Star Trek movies and figuring out the after-credit sequences, starting with the next-gen movies. Now, if you remember, we had gone through parts 1 through 6. We talked a lot about part 1, which is only fitting because it's a very long movie.
Everybody fell asleep during that discussion, but that's okay.
But the director's cut of that discussion, everyone is a fan of.
That's true. They're going to just keep releasing it and releasing it and releasing it. But then we moved on, and I think we really hit our stride where we had general insert name here.
Chang,
yes. We had General Chang as the puppet master pulling strings with Admiral Cartwright leading up to the big reveal in Episode 6, The Undiscovered Country.
I'm uncomfortable with you calling it Episode 6. I'm
force
just going
to say
that up front.
Force of habit. I'm
sorry. Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Is that better?
Before Star Trek VII Generations, right?
Yeah, that is true. God. That is true. Yes, we've also talked about how we hate Roman numerals. So, but first, before we jump into this, how has your weeks been? Any new Trek? I mean, we're really close to Discovery. Not that we have to always talk about it at the beginning of our episodes, but
have you purchased
your All Access yet?
Well, I did get my Discovery T-shirt in the mail. I know that sounds like a joke, but I'm serious. And so that's sort of my new pajama wear. It isn't very good, well made, but it is kind of cool looking. It actually photographed well. But now I'm sort of like warp fiving it through Enterprise because I'm in season 3. So that means I got like a season to go or season and a quarter to go. And so I'm sort of just like going as fast as I can here and it's kind of fun because my wife's watching it with me, and so it's interesting to see her reactions to things. So it's I'm trying to get to the 22nd century, so I am then able to welcome the newest chapter in 23rd century Star Trek.
So I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I just read the headline, so naturally I am very very ready and prepared to talk about what I learned. It appears that in an interview, somebody had mentioned that as Discovery goes on, they're going to make a push to make it more and more TOS-esque.
I did read that. Yeah, that the stylings and the colors are going to slowly shift towards TOS, what we know from Kirk's time, which could be cool. Although it's kind of funny that they have to say that up front because, you know, I mean, that would we would naturally discover that anyway, but it's like the show's not even out.
I know like it's a general like 10-year period, but do we know specifically like the star date that this, because the Enterprise is already in commission at this point, right? It's out there. And
yeah,
I don't think we have a star date, just 10 years before Kirk, I think, is what they've
it's
been
just
saying.
10, so it's just a general kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I saw a headline that said like this is the year, but it wasn't necessarily a reputable.
Like, they're not going to run into the Enterprise, and Kirk's not going to be at the helm. You know, just
well, Kirk isn't captain of the Enterprise, of course.
That's what I'm saying.
So is he going to be on it's 10 years before he'll
the Farragut, or wait, he might still be in the Academy for all I know. I don't know.
No, because he spent some years on that planet as well, right? From that one episode, I guess my forgetfulness.
City Alpha 5.
No.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about. Kind of the Prime Directive breaking planet, like with the sort of.
Anyways, I feel like there's enough service. Savages, like Kirk would still be in the service. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Ensign Kirk, Lieutenant Kirk. Something like that.
I'm curious
now if they say that they're shifting uniforms and such. Are they going to like shift to the cage and then shift to TOS?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, which they probably want to do because it's such a plain looking uniform. I mean, I'm sure you could jazz it up somehow, but
it'll be again. They chose this, man. They chose this time period. So, good luck to them. I guess that's all I'll say.
That's true. It's interesting how, did they choose it or did Brian Fuller choose it?
Oh, well, I mean, they as in CBS. I don't know who you want to pin it on.
Well, they as in whoever.
Even Brian Fuller, if he was still here, I don't think could have made.
Well, he's not dead.
rest
God
in peace, Brian Fuller. even.
Just dead to Star Trek.
Even if he were there. Even if it was his decision or what's his name? The other guy that worked on the movies.
Oh,
Kurtzman. Yeah, if it was his decision, it doesn't matter. It still seems. It'll be interesting to see what happens, I guess, is what we'll say.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, jumping in to episode Generations. I guess that's not really episode Generations.
Stop saying episode.
Star Trek Generations. So we've had our
start
first
using
look.
Colons.
Okay, call it. We've had our look at the Enterprise D. It's been destroyed. Picard has buried Kirk's body, so there's no evidence.
Allegedly,
Data is crying over Spot, and we end with Picard in his normal TNG uniform and Riker in the DS9 uniform in the ruined bridge. Lit only by the skylight, and they beam up and warp out on a couple of ships. Pretty much all, I think it's like a Miranda, a Nebula, and a Obrith.
Okay, yes, I can't remember. Constellation class, something like that, but yeah.
Something like that, but yeah, so they warp out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I mean, besides the whole warping out, is pretty much the last shot is them, having that, Riker says, I always thought I'd have a chance at this chair, the man who never sits down. And Picard, they say plenty of letters left in the alphabet. And then they beam away. So what are we going to do for our after credit? Are we going to try to set up another multi-part build towards something or just keep it kind of one-offs? I don't think the Next Gen movies kind of lend themselves to a sequence.
So,
well, it, go ahead.
Okay, so I know the easy answer here is going to be the Borg.
Right.
It's going to be the Borg.
That would be the
so
easy
I'm going to go, I'm going to flip it. And I'm going to say, let's not go for the easy one this time. I want to see the Nexus hit somebody interesting that we would not expect. Now, I don't know who it would be. I was thinking Q, but I don't really think that would make any sort of sense. Although it could be a funny cameo. But there should be a character out there, or somebody in Star Trek,
Next Generation,
yeah, preferably. Or somebody that had already been hit by the Nexus interacting with somebody else that they normally wouldn't have interacted with.
Well, I mean, this is obviously wouldn't really happen. This is not silly, but it's just, non-canon one. If there could be, I don't know. I'm just doing off the top of my head, so probably not going to be good here. But, maybe some outpost, is we're detecting the Nexus ribbon. It's leaving the Verdian system. Okay, let's see. It's charting its course. Well, looks like the only thing it's coming close to is the Bajoran system. And then you just see a graphic of Deep Space Nine.
I don't know, though. Yeah, unless you had an episode in Deep Space Nine with a Nexus.
Yeah, I know. But
so all our after-credit scenes are from Deep Space Nine, so we get them on the big screen somehow. They don't get a movie. They just get the after-credit.
And we could screenshot that shot of DS9, because, man, it would just pop out at you.
So first of all, Philip, you mentioned at first that it was a kind of a silly idea, but here's the thing. Some of the after-credit scenes... And we talked last episode about this kind of being modeled after the Marvel, this modern sort of after credit sequence. And some of those are just silly for silly's sake. They're just fun that you just wouldn't
normally... Like the shawarma scene.
Like the shawarma scene, right, yeah. And so I think that's a good idea. I also kind of really like the idea of creating a Nexus early Deep Space Nine episode. That would be a lot of fun. Although that we couldn't do that now. That's not the point of what we're doing here. But if we wanted to tease a fictional Nexus early Deep Space Nine episode, that would be an interesting way to do it. And I like that idea.
The only other direction I could think of, but of course, again, it's somewhat unrealistic, is that it would have to be some commentary in the general sense of the word of Kirk's death. So in other words, you'd have a Spock or a McCoy or a, you know, something like that sort of reacting to that news or something, you know. Maybe,
like Picard goes to, and, or Picard goes to, well, Spock's quarters or wherever he's stationed on Vulcan or whatever, and he's doing unification at this point, technically. He's on Romulus.
Yes, yeah, so he could hear it on Romulus or something.
Well, we could take the post-credit sequence in a different direction, although I would argue this should have been part of the actual movie and not post-credits, but you could have a Kirk funeral scene.
Oh, that's, yeah, that would be like a Kirk memorial somewhere.
Oh,
like,
where would it be?
A statue? With his hand sort of reaching out. And
although they could have, if they had another ship, they could do the torpedo scene. I mean, he's not in the torpedo, but it's like more of the symbolism.
They could torpedo his shallow grave. Is that what you're suggesting, Taryn?
No, it's like when they shoot him out.
Look, there was no one on that planet. They can blow up that planet. It was the
They're
one
gonna blow
door,
up
though,
the planet. Well, yeah. So you could do something with Kirk's death.
Oh, I could see. All right. I mean, this is like maybe like. Okay, this maybe it's not silly, but you know, it's far fetched, and so maybe like a 10 years later, and show the James T. Kirk Memorial Museum on the side of that planet.
Hmm. Like etched on the side of the planet, like in large enough letters to read from orbit.
I know, we made this joke earlier that the primitive people of Viridian 4 next door would be like, what are all those things in the sky, you know? As it becomes like a tourist place to see the, you know, Kirk Museum.
I came up with one other idea too. And I'll throw this by you guys. It's going to kind of bend the rules of the Nexus, but since the Nexus rules seem to be whatever they want at the time, it seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is an echo of
exactly.
yourself there?
So it's going to be a Kirk echo, and Guinan is going to be on the bridge of the original Enterprise with him, and she's going to explain to him, you know, whatever.
What the Nexus is.
Yeah, this is part of you. You have died somewhere else. I don't know if she has to say that or whatever, but... And he lives out his existence, happiness, on the bridge of the original ship that he was in love with. So,
I mean, there's a bit of an echo, I hear that when I said it, to how Captain Pike ended in the Prime Universe, for those who don't remember. In The Menagerie, the only two-parter in the original series, Captain Pike, is he Captain then? But anyway, whatever he is. You know, in his sort of beep beep wheelchair, ends up going to Talos 4 and kind of gets transformed into his old self and goes, lives with whatever the blonde girl.
That's true.
But anyway, and so you sort of have a Kirkian ending like that, where sort of a fantasy maybe of like, you know, you still see what's her name, the girl and the horse, who we've never heard of before. But maybe, you know, something with the Enterprise as well or something like that. But yeah, no, I agree with that.
Well,
I think it's a sort of a happy ending. Kind of like River Song, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you know, how we first saw her die, you know, how she sort of
spoilers.
Got that happy ending. Yes.
Now, see, that was a double meaning. That was a good one, Philip, and I want some props for that. Cause...
Lots of props. 10 points for Daniel. Well, yeah, there's, I mean, like you said, Daniel, there's the easy option of Borg, and you could even just have something as simple as like a shadow falling across a planet, and you hear the Borg drone sound. But my thought is, what if we did either something like something hinting at the Enterprise E? Like, we don't see it, we still get a reveal
I would like that, but then Daniel will hate it. You know, it's sort of like you see like this crew, you know, working on this new Sovereign class vessel, like the USS Exit, and they just finished painting the last X, and then it's like yeah, we're going to be changing the name.
Darren just wants to see. Wasn't that all of that stuff in Ships of the Line that you made us read You just want to see a cinematic adaptation.
We can go about that. Yeah.
Oh, Kelsey Grammer just turns to the camera.
We're building a new one.
What's Kelsey Grammer doing here? Well, I thought it was either something like that or maybe like a scene with all of the crew in like a lounge somewhere, and they're talking about like, well, what are they going to do now? Because their ship is gone. And although we already kind of had the plenty of letters left in the alphabet line, which would have been good there.
That's kind of a an after credit scene. Like a that would be a decent after credit scene on its own.
Now, if we're going for funny inside Star Trek universe funny, what we could do is make a reference to the uniforms. The fact that we're going to see a new uniform, and the fact, you know, like, you know, some, like, I don't know who it would be. It has to be like someone random, like Geordi and like Beverly, you know.
It's got to be Geordi. Geordi makes something about the way they look, which is hilarious because he's got the visor, so he sees something different than anyone else sees anyway.
It's like, how many uniforms am I going to have to keep in this closet?
So
yeah, I like that. So it's an end credit, and they're kind of like mulling over what they're going to be doing next. But the conversation turns to the uniforms, and that's what we actually hear them talk about for like 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. It could be sort of like a joke. Like, I mean, again, this is a short scene, but some sort of the way they're talking, it's like they're about to reveal the new Enterprise.
Right.
And it's just like a new uniform instead.
So,
like an admiral shows up.
I had one other idea, and this idea could kind of be incorporated into that. So Star Trek Generations came out in November of 94, and Voyager mm-hmm. came out in January of 95. So you could put Janeway in a scene, or the ship, or somehow integrate that. I don't know if they're going to go to the shipyards to look at the, I don't know, whatever, if you're going to do that with the new ship. You could do that as well.
You could have, and again, this would be, again, I would just pick Geordi randomly, you know, some sort of like mulling about, you know, looking it over ships. You sort of just see maybe models as he's looking over, like, and then you see this sort of, this different model we've never seen
that
before.
That one's mine.
It's like a smaller starship. And then, and Geordi's like, huh, kind of small for an Enterprise. And then someone says, yeah, didn't you hear? That one ship just disappeared. Or, you know, we haven't heard from that one ship since it left Deep Space Nine. I wonder what happened to it. And then
no, but if Voyager hadn't aired yet, we wouldn't know that yet.
Yeah, it would be a tease. It would be a tease.
Well,
for
it could be a future, you know, time. You know.
What if we did this? What if we do our standard kind of two credits? So you have the one that's after like the main characters are listed, and that's the the joke one where they talk about the uniforms and it's like, haha, because we know it's going to change again. And then at the very, very end, after all the credits, it's, you know, like an admiral, someone who at a shipyard. And that's where we're thinking like, oh, it's going to be about the Enterprise E or what's next. But instead, it is showing like a schematic that is of the USS Voyager.
Oh, hang on. I just came up with a really good idea. So it's going to be the end credit, right? And
right.
I thought Riker was going to get that one.
We're going to just throw it in there. Like, throw the audience in there deep, and nobody's going to know who anybody is yet, okay? So you're going to see an admiral walking with Janeway talking about personnel for the Voyager. And you're like, you know, at first you're confused. They're Starfleet people, so you can just follow along, but you don't know these people.
And she's in the uniform that we've seen our people transition into, so that makes sense.
Yes.
So then, you know, she's walking along talking. You don't know who she's with. And then she goes, so what about this Nick Locarno? No, of course.
Nice. Okay. But I like it. I like having but something, maybe not specifically, we don't know, but it's a tie into Voyager, and we show, you know, that ship, maybe get a couple notes from their fanfare, and then it's maybe 20 seconds at most, and then it's out. So okay, so we've had a fun one with our crew, and then we've had our Voyager toss off, which I like. All right, so let's move on to, well, we're going to forget Roman numerals, but First Contact. So First Contact, it ends with, Zefren Cochran is shaking hands with the Vulcans. We get a great shot of our entire crew back on their ship with a lot of, you know, new uniforms, and Data's got something going on his eye. And, they zip off, and then we see everyone's dancing to the Ooby Dooby on Earth, Lord help us all. And the music swells and we go into credits. So are we teasing?
You know, no, we're not teasing.
That's because, yeah, we just show the characters everybody having an app. Is that what we would tease? No, of course not. We'll...
You know, I'm almost like, what year is this? Because in other words, it's too early. This is what, 96, isn't it? So it's way too early
to
tease. Well,
do it.
I'm going to tease whatever.
Do it. I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
Tease
what? Go with it.
I can't. Sorry, I can't hear what you're saying.
Tease Enterprise.
Tease Enterprise.
Retcon. 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 That's exactly what I was thinking, Philip. Tell us your idea.
I don't have one. You go, Daniel. I mean, other than Zephram Cochrane, you know, I don't know who he'd be talking to. I don't know how to make this interesting, but something like, you know, Warp 1, that's pretty awesome. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking. And then
one day we'll reach Warp 5.
Five.
No, I was thinking, you know. I was thinking at the very end.
Or like a young Henry Archer.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Absolutely.
Oh, like he's introducing the Vulcans to everyone. This is Lily. And, this is my assistant. Henry Archer, he has this crazy idea. We can go to Warp 5.
And Henry Archer is a young sprout at this point, and he's holding a puppy beagle. And
it's a gift for my son.
It's a little on the nose, but I was thinking the exact same thing of tying it all together.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So it's we establish his connection with Henry Archer. And we don't have to, you know, be too on the nose, but we know, like, that will make more sense, again, after Enterprise comes out and we see who the captain is.
Yeah, this is obviously something that would never, ever happen, and it makes no sense as far as the actual timeline, but as far as the Star Trek timeline, I think that would be the coolest thing that you could tease.
I mean, you could even have, like, I don't know if the ages would be correct, but you'd have, like, you know, he's having,
or
he
could
like,
even be a grandfather.
Son,
it just could be somebody, like, but it's an Archer family member.
Well, no, like, you could have, like, you know, young Henry has, like, his four-year-old son, and the son's, like, you know, looks at the Vulcans, like, I'm going to be a captain of a ship one day. And, oh, yes, of course, son. You know how kids can be, and Vulcan's, like, quite, you know.
I'm trying to find out when his date of birth is, because...
It would be on Mirror Universe
Enterprise first contact
freeze
is...
frame.
Okay, no, he was born...
as 2063. When was Archer born?
Archer was born in 2112, so he's obviously not going to be there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's see what...
Well, Lordy, what was his, like, Zephram a million years old or, you know, 100 years old?
Yeah,
old.
Well, no, remember, Zephram was dead before the launch of the Warp 5.
He worked with his dad.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. I think we can't do Archer, but we can establish Henry Archer.
Yeah.
Henry Archer died in 2124. So, I don't know.
That's plenty of time.
It doesn't say when he was born. I don't think we know enough about
him. I mean, it seems like it's one of his yeah, but we can definitely connect those dots and show that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Moving on to the ever exciting Insurrection. Data is playing.
You say that introduction. I love what the next one you're going to give is.
Data is playing with the boy in the hay. Picard looks at a woman and talks about shore leave, and then we see the Enterprise leave into the Briar Patch, flying by the beautiful planet with all the rings. We got to do something to spice this up because it's snooze
what
fest.
What you could do? No. Well, I think there's an easy one. Well, I say easy. There's an obvious one, I guess, is what I'm saying. Maybe I'm going to give the concept. I want you all to paint out the picture. The concept is a ring is given.
Okay. So he proposes?
The Rikers.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. How would he do that?
We see the Riker proposal.
Let's combine our two ideas then, Philip, because I was also thinking of some sort of a Titan tease.
A little early, but
well,
okay.
I mean, he's accepted it by the time Nemesis has started, hasn't he?
What if we don't see the proposal and we see Riker asking someone to be Data to be his best man?
Well, I like what maybe you're saying, Daniel. Okay. And again, I'll let you paint it up. But the concept I could see, like, you know, he gets the offer, you know, and he's like, well, only on one condition. I take my wife. And they're like, wife? I didn't know you were married. And he's like, opens up the ring back at me.
I will be.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's Riker again with an admiral, and
yep.
Why don't we just put it on Deep Space Nine to make everybody happy? Well, then you would have to. Because we've already got the other two.
You would have to put the Enterprise at Deep Space Nine for that scene somehow. I guess if it's after credits, it could be. Well, it could be an indiscriminate amount of time later. I guess it's not.
It's undergoing repairs because it's still got, you know, the tar beat out.
That would be cool to see the Enterprise E docked at Deep Space Nine. That would be pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
Her wedding maybe.
No, yeah, no.
She's already dead at this point. So,
yeah, no, I think I kind of like to do that, even though it doesn't make any sense. But just because we've already done Voyager and Enterprise, and so kind of having these other series in the after credit, kind of I like that thread. So we show the Enterprise there, being, you know, worked on or docking, and we see, so it's an exterior shot of it docked there. And then we cut to, Riker. Maybe Riker is buying the ring from Quark.
Ugh. Well, he knows Quark, so I don't know if he would do that.
So that's true. Here we go. Yeah. So I'm just thinking of how this logistically would work, and you would have like.
You could have Admiral Ross if you really want to connect it.
Oh yeah,
maybe
that's
Admiral
a good idea.
Ross is offering him the command, so that we have some kind of a.
So we're just in the war room, or
so,
the,
yeah,
the
so,
war room.
Yeah, because remember the Dominion War is still going.
Yeah, so
on
okay,
at this
so
point.
We say it, the scene opens up and it's first officer's log, whatever. You know, the Deep Space Nine is the closest Federation starbase to the Briar Patch or whatever.
Yes, we're just going to
say and,
that.
And
I think it's actually not that far.
And then, but, then you have.
Well, Worf was there.
That's true.
That's true.
So he can't be that far.
You got to take Worf back.
They have
to
drop
Worf back.
Yeah, Worf off. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
It's basically
Worf.
It's a shuttle service. Oh, and you know what?
Sovereign class shuttle service.
I would love to, if we're going to do this and we're just going to have fun with it, of course. I would love to see a follow up scene between Picard and Sisko, and you can make this all one scene, right?
Oh wow!
So you have Admiral.
Or do
Rock.
We want to do the split where it's like
well, you
the,
could
the...
you could do two, but you could also have it like just you know Picard and his first officer, Ross and Sisko, you know the senior staff, like kind of a meeting,
just chilling
as a senior, you know, as a, you know, whatever, and then. And then Ross is like, yeah, come over here, Riker. I have an interesting.
Well, and you have Sisko and Worf because those are the pair, and then Ross.
Yeah.
So those five.
Well, yeah, because they're talking maybe war plans, you know. Yeah. And then there's like Ross is like, well, you know, we have the USS Titan, but she needs a new captain, and then that's where you sort of have him maybe pulling a.
But he pulls it. He literally pulls out the chair.
It's time to sit down.
It's time to sit down.
Hey, what do you say, Commander?
He's like, well, I'm going to be settling down. Ha, hey-o.
And then, yeah, the closing shot could be it's, I accept this conditionally, and then he pulls out the ring, and everybody's like, aw. And then,
aw. And then except for Worf looks sad. It's his wife.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Oh, this is terrible. I know this is terrible, people, but he could say, I have a ring you can
use.
I know.
I know.
Terrible.
It's a crown. I have a crown you can use. Okay, not that.
I know.
Okay, so it's a wardroom. He is offered the Titan. He accepts conditionally, and his condition is that he can bring his wife. And everyone like has that like double take where they like turn and look at him like, what? And then he sees that he's like, you know, it's like to the next great adventure or something like that. And then
he's like, don't worry. I'll grow the beard back.
Okay, so we've gotten, this is great, so we've gotten all three of the other series in so far. Now we're on to Nemesis.
We have to say goodbye.
Okay, so we ended with, they did their toast to absent friends, dun, everyone's dun, crying, and then
B4 sings
a little song, and there's a glimmer of hope that Data is still intact, and then we see the Enterprise rebuilt at at Earth. Being patched up because he crashed it into another ship. don't do that again, Picard. But
yeah. So now this is sad because remember, this is what we're doing now. This will be the last shot ever of TNG on the big screen, or even ever.
Right.
Anyway.
So I have.
Well, I mean, except Voyager. But I get it. Troy was in it, but you know what I mean.
Do we want to tease with old Spock and start to weave into the Kelvin?
No, I don't. No. I don't.
We don't have to.
I mean,
we haven't really
teased
anything
Darren.
Of the next movies, but
I have two different ideas. I'm going to say them both, and you guys can tell me which one you think is better. I would say, just to loop it all back around, and the thing is, it would be difficult to do this, but you have another poker game scene. Okay. Just to kind of make it all circular. My other idea is because Star Trek should always be about moving forward, you have an opening sequence, essentially. It's not obviously an actual opening sequence, but it would be what would an opening sequence would look like with the Titan, with Riker doing the voiceover, and to moving forward, like the new kind of adventure.
I like that, because if you harken back to TOS, Spock did the opening sequence, you know, end of Star Trek 2, I believe. He did, you know, da-da-da-da. And so now you have Riker kind of giving the, like, it's almost as if they're doing sort of a pilot or sort of a, you know, spin-off, you know. But yeah, I like that. So you show, you know, because you have, I mean, you have the goodbye, which is kind of sweet, but then you sort of just have that, and you have the Titan, and then kind of you just maybe see the focus on the Titan as it veers off, and then you hear space. The final, you just, and that's Riker giving that, you know, these are the voyages of the Starship Titan. And then maybe it's a little, you know, it's changed just a little bit, a word or two, just to make it kind of special. And then, yeah, it kind of zooms off.
Okay, so and so then, one idea
but
is
it, to, but then it does it just like TNG, where it comes right back, and then comes back again, and then comes back again.
What was your second idea, Daniel?
Oh, no, my first idea was the poker idea.
Oh, I see, I see. Yeah. So either the poker game was, just for, like, fun, or tossing to the Titan.
Yep.
And I always want there to be two, because I think, like, the Titan or the Riker intro would be a good after credits, everything's over. I do want a mid-credits. Is there someone you feel like did not get a good goodbye? Like, what's Geordi doing with his life? He's still chief engineer of the Enterprise? Beverly's a deleted scene, so I don't know if that you want to count that we said goodbye to her or not.
What if we could have a scene with Geordi where he's muttering about, like, he crashed the ship into another ship because he's responsible for fixing it.
Well, the thing is, we know Geordi's future, and we already decided that we don't want to tease the Kelvin connection, so we probably just wouldn't even want to go there, honestly. I mean, unless we could.
It's Geordi and Spock who build the jellyfish, right?
Yes. What you could do, which would have been innocuous enough at the time, but also still connect them, would say, "Hey, Geordi, there's an opportunity at the Starfleet Corps of Engineers or whatever."
Now, could we have Worf being officially made first officer of the Enterprise?
Just have a little promotion scene or something of him actually getting commander.
Being commander. Yeah, because, I mean, he's
because, like,
never,
you said, we want to,
like,
make,
yeah,
it a send-off to these characters, not connect to other things, so...
Worf would be good. The problem is he's already had a promotion scene in the movies, so I would feel like giving it to somebody else.
We go back to the boat.
Yeah.
Was Wesley come back?
Well, Wesley could be on the Titan if we were to show an interior shot.
And we don't want to show anything with Romulus being in danger of nebulas or supernovas.
I can see that, Daniel. It's almost like the end of Star Trek 4. So maybe, and I don't know how you, but in other words, you see Riker getting on the bridge, and you sort of get that group shot, and it's only going to last maybe about 20 seconds, but you just get that bridge shot, and you're like, is that Wesley
they go off to warp speed.
Is it Tuvok?
Riker's like, let's see what she's got.
Tuvok?
Oh, no. And so, he sits in the center chair, and then he says, engage, because he...
That would be good. Yeah. I would like that.
Because
carrying on the legacy.
Well, yeah, because he totally respects Picard, and of course he's going to take that moniker, you know, for saying go.
I'm trying to think, like, because you'd have, I mean, it'd be cheesy, but wait. I don't know what the Titan would look like, but you have Troy on the side, you know, as the counselor role, even though it's, and the wife, but I'm trying to think, like, who would be kind of cool to be number one, like Harry Kim or just someone, and then, because he has to be able to say, like, number one to someone, and then, like, engage, you know.
If we Thomas, want to make it kind funnier, of have,
Thomas
we
Wright
could have... We could have the beginning of the scene is like he's in his ready room with Troy and he's like fretting. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know. It's really important. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like,
just okay, it'll come to me. And then they walks out on the bridge, sits down, and you see the wide shot, and then he's like, engage. Like, he was debating about if he wanted to say and that, have that be his line. So it's like, what? No, and then it, like, an extra beat, and the con officer's like, what course, sir? Like, he didn't actually give the course. He's just like, oh, sorry. Starbase 5.
Riker does that.
Engage to where,
he does his little crap-eating grin right before he says it.
Yeah.
Engage, you know? That would be good. I like that
idea. Yeah.
And I just like to have, like, random people on there in different positions. So, like, is that? And then they just...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you barely see it. And then you're like, dang it, I'm going to have to wait till the DVD comes out before I can figure out what that was. All right. Mm. Moving forward into the Kelvinverse. We got three more. So in this one, we end with Spock meeting Spock Prime, and he talks about not being his father, which is kind of weird. But and we see,
I am not our father.
Kirk getting promoted, and Pike is relieved, and then we're all on the bridge. It's all shiny and Lindsay.
Kirk's finally in the gold shirt.
Yeah, finally in the gold shirt, and they punch it. And zip out off to new adventures. So what about these three we start teasing together?
Oh, God, do we really want to tease Into Darkness? I mean, like, I could think of some cool way of saying Khan, but I don't care.
Botany Bay. So. It's got to be the Botany Bay. I mean...
Yeah, I could care.
I mean, though. I
it's one of those things.
But here's the thing. If you're going to do it, and you're going to tease the next film...
Because do the exact same tease we did for the Botany Bay at the end of Star Trek 1.
Yeah. I mean, what else could you do? You could do the Vengeance, I guess, but nobody's going to know what that is.
No one cares.
Yeah.
I want to do something...
Well, I mean,
I don't know. Something...
Is there anyone in the TOS world that we didn't see in 09 that you would have loved to see a nod to, like a Nurse Chapel or a Yeoman Rand or a...
Or if we wanted to get... What if we get Eric's?
Imres.
What if we get Harry Mudd played by Rainn Wilson? That would be really just my big dream.
Well, you say that because we do get a Mudd reference in
Into Darkness.
Oh,
that's right. We do. I forgot about that.
And so...
Oh, you could show that scene.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll do a Harry Mudd reference, and we'll have Rainn Wilson play him, which will be funny because it'll come full circle.
It would totally bonk with the timeline if only one character was ever played by the same person. Yeah,
that's true. Right. I'm trying to think.
What else?
It's sort of like Q and James Bond. I know Q vote, but like where you have the same character or the same actor playing the same part in. I don't know if you were. The argument is James Bond is different universes or the same person or whatever.
But then
anyway,
Q is the same person.
It'd be cool if Star Trek.
Q ages, but James doesn't.
Q and M, both Q and M.
Yeah, and so it'd be interesting if there was a character in that played it in the various, you know, Prime and Kelvin, JJ, whatever.
You could tease Carol Marcus somehow.
Yeah, except they didn't use.
I know.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea, Daniel.
I don't know. I don't know what I would want to do.
There's not a payoff, unfortunately.
For 09. I really don't. There's not a lot.
I mean, there's things they do in the credits where they show little snippets of the adventures that it's going on, like the green hand grabbing and like the world eater. Like, we could do more of a scene like that where it's showing that they're going to run into some of the same adventures that the Prime crew did.
Yeah, how about, you know how, and maybe this is what you just said, Darren, I apologize, but like, you know, where TOS had the closing credits with the stills?
Right.
Just do it with the new JJ people.
So like, take the exact same stills, but like the Orion girl, but she's like all modern and...
Yeah, or you could do...
Exactly, that would be cool.
You could do like famous scenes from TOS... So
Nomad is there with them on the bridge,
or you would see Spock with a goatee in one of the stills.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like it. Spock with a goatee, and then there's like a half black, half white man in engineering, or something
there's,
like that. So
there's a scene
we have like five or six different shots.
Because I think what you could do, and this would be a tease, non-tease. Is you show all these famous scenes of the famous episodes, and you're like, wait a minute. I wonder why they didn't do one with Khan. That, you know, that would have been an obvious one. I wonder why they didn't show that. And then,
they could do
I
one
like
with
that.
Like
that's actually really fun.
with like Spock holding Kirk back, you know, for Edith Keeler and stuff like that.
Yo, God, that would be cool.
Them jumping through the Guardian of Forever.
That would be really cool too. Yeah, oh man, and that would make it.
But again, remember, it's all screenshots, so it's really simple to.
You only get a sense of what happened, and it's like it kind of plays with this idea that the rebooted universe is still kind of the same, but a little bit different.
It's
like you can
parallel,
like,
yeah.
You can put like a little twist on it every time, like maybe Kirk has the goatee or something, like you or you know or Keenzer yeah. or something. I don't know how you'd want to do it, but. Oh, that's a cool idea.
Spock's holding Keenzer back from Edith Keeler.
From Edith Keeler, he's the one.
Okay, I like that.
I just think, like, for people, and I'm saying, maybe I'm including me when I say this, who were resistant to this, let's go to TOS again. But then you're sort of seeing, like, oh, this is what it would look like, modern update. And that's kind of cool because they're nodding to the canon.
Right.
We appreciate what's come before. But it also does, also tips that, hey, just to let you know, we're not going to do the same stories that have been done before. I mean, we are.
Yeah,
we are,
I like having the similar pictures, but not the exact same.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, they did all the things that maybe that you did, but we're going to have a new story the next time. Or they're not. It's not going to be a new story at all. But anyway, so
there'll be that screenshot from Shore Leave, but instead of the fluffy Easter Bunny, it's going to be Frank from Donnie Darko. And so, you know, it's a little bit darker than what it was
before.
No,
I can see, like, the McCoy with the two Vegas girls around him,
Oh, the Horta? You could do something cool with the Horta. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, good with Spock doing the, J.J.
Like,
Spock.
No Kill Eye could be, it has to be a lot of fun. You could have a lot of fun with
No Kill Eye.
And it doesn't, the because Horta, they're just like the little pictures, they don't have to be, there could be like 20 of them. And they
and
you
can do
mean?
A ton of CG because, again, it's just a picture.
Just an image.
It doesn't have to,
You could do, even as, I mean, there's a bunch of ways to do it. Like, you could do the credits over these pictures as they
or
play.
Have
them,
like, sliding across.
Or,
like, a bunch of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A left flush, right flush, you know, with the credits. So that way you could kind of appreciate the picture as it scrolled, you know, I guess, up. But, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a I don't know
I
how
like
we
that.
Came to that. Like, we coalesced on that idea real quick, but that was that's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess we got to do Into Darkness.
Okay, Into Darkness ends with Kirk is okay because of Treble Superblood, and Khan is now back in his peaceful slumber.
It's the memorial, actually, I guess, is the ending with the flag and the Kirk speech and the jets fly overhead, and, you know, it's like a year later, I think. Am I making that up?
I don't remember
a chunk
that.
Later.
But,
yeah.
And then we see Carol Marcus on the bridge talking to Kirk. There's not a lot in the end of Into Darkness.
Well, sense of relief that it's over.
Yeah. So.
But anyway.
So how are we teasing? What are we doing?
How are we stopping them? Because the audience may have left already.
We could have a nod towards City Alpha 5. Like that they're going to put him on that planet.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like, what if they do still put him on City Alpha?
Right, it's just not... Because remember, this is their space seed episode, basically, is this movie.
So what if
they're
not going
to see him again.
Yeah, what if they have, like, a cold storage facility on City Alpha, and, you know, and then you just show them loading all those frozen people,
right.
and then
exactly.
You see, like, something explode or something like that. That's actually a really cool idea. I like that idea.
Yeah, I like that, like a station on the surface. And so it's not the Botany Bay, it's the station, and that's where they're loading all the cold storage.
Yeah. And then, of course, they're never going to do anything with it, but it's just the idea that it's...
It shows that things still move in parallel.
Yeah, it's still parallel.
Which is kind of our theme of these end credits from the last time, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Though, I don't know. I do like, I mean, this is not original, and I don't know if y'all said it or if fans said it or whatever. Maybe when they're putting it in cold storage, you know, it zooms to another pod, and then you see that one actually says Khan.
Oh, I've heard someone say that,
Yeah.
And it's like, it looks like Ricardo Montalban, like it's like another Khan.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get.
I mean, the fact that they recast Kirk and everybody and they look different, like, we're kind of past that.
Well, the fact that he's really, really white. But anyway, in English. But yes, no, I get it. But it kind of saves the, you know, if you're feeling frustrated about the movie, it is a way to be like, double bluff. it really wasn't. And so any problems you may have had, this is how
yeah, but that almost kind of resets buttons the whole movie, and you're like, oh, why did I even watch this? Of course, you're like thinking that anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love Into Darkness, but I always hated that idea because it just kind of takes away from it.
So. You never want to that this movie didn't happen because devalues.
Well, it's not saying it didn't happen. You're just saying the guy was lying, you know, about who he was.
No, that's true. All right, but I like the cold storage on City Alpha 5.
City Alpha.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty biased about City Alpha.
Whatever do you mean, so. Philip?
All right, so Star Trek Beyond, we have Spock looking at the photo of the original crew. Everyone's tearing up. Then we have the party where they're toasting Kirk.
The lounge.
The lounge party. And then we see
the
Enterprise.
I've only seen it once.
The Enterprise A being built in super fast.
Enterprise A, of course.
In super fast speed. not in Idaho, which is strange, but you know,
over top of a Beastie Boys track, I think is how it's being built. So
something, but they even have the same hexagon mirrors and windows and stuff. But so we basically see it built and launched in super fast motion. So do we want to show?
This is a toughie.
Yeah,
because we don't know. Obviously, this is if it is or not, you know, no one here can say, but theoretically, this could be the last Kelvin movie. So, I don't know.
Do we want to tease Discovery?
No, because it's still going backwards, and I don't like that.
Yeah. And it's also, and I don't mean to sound this negative, I don't feel like you can do like a Star Trek 6, like, oh, it's their signatures, because everyone would be like, I don't have that close of a connection with them. Beyond was good.
Or teasing some event. Like, I mean, you could do Praxis or something like that.
You know what you could do? And again, it's heresy, but let's just go there. Tease a Kelvin next gen.
Okay, so what you could do, and it was kind of bringing it full circle from our conversation today.
Even though we just showed the A. Okay.
But it's accelerated letters. Timeline.
So how about there is some sort of energy ribbon in space. I knew you were gonna like that.
Daniel, you know what? I usually fight you on this, but let's go ahead and do it. Let's embrace your idea. And
yes, the Borg. Yes.
And you know, in some sort of like, you know, an outpost or starbase, you know, maybe you show the Enterprise A, you know, flying by
the new Enterprise,
and they're
A.
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, then I'm like, sir, we're detecting some very odd, you know, it's some sort of vessel. What's it look like? I don't know. It's just a cube.
Now, if you really want to tease it.
Dun, dun, dun. And that is to be continued. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
If you really want to tease a next-gen connection to, I mean, this is a layer on top that we can totally remove afterwards. Because it doesn't make any sense at all when I'm going to say this. But just picture this now.
Well, this is beyond. We're embracing the
concept.
We
don't have to explain it until the next movie anyways, so that gives us plenty of time to write this in. you have the Enterprise encountering the Borg, and then over the loudspeaker, this is Locutus of Borg. And then there you go. You cut to black.
Oh,
you're right. That doesn't make any sense.
But it does in my fan fiction, so I don't even want to hear about it.
I'm thinking too three-dimensionally. That's the problem.
The problem is, okay, so I really like these silly concepts and these fun kind of throwbacks and stuff. The issue is, what Philip mentioned, is this is going to be the last one. And you kind of don't want to tease, like, a conflict that you're never going to see, you know?
That's true.
So
it needs
I don't know,
to ease out, not, like, ramp up.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how you would do that.
I mean, unless you... I don't know, because we sort of saw, and again, I'm having trouble remembering the exact ending. I think it was like the lounge, and then you said the rebuilding of the Enterprise.
Yeah, the rebuilding's like literally the last thing we see, and then it zips off into space.
Yeah, it's not rebuilding, it's building, but yeah. Because I was trying to think of like, well, you know what you, again, okay, this is my first thought. It's probably dumb, but I'll go with it. You see them on the bridge, you know, so you get the rebuilding, and then at the end credits, you have them on the bridge, and they're in the TMP, but Kelvin version, the motion picture uniforms. and then you maybe
we could
have
probably skip over that. Just go right to Monster Maroons, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could, but
unless you want to do some sort of a,
I mean, they would look better.
You want to do some sort of a V'ger teaser, which actually might not be a bad idea, because if we're getting onto the A,
right.
You could do, there is,
because the A is basically in replace of the refit, quote unquote.
Right. Well, they're the same ship,
yeah.
And anybody can fight me on that. Fight me on that. It's the same damn ship.
Does it have the captain's steering wheel in the lounge?
It doesn't. Yeah. So yeah, you could do like a, you know, there's a priority alert from Starfleet, you know, and then it's, there's a one AU cloud headed this direction, or whatever you wanted, however you want to tease it. You could do a. Mm-hmm. You could do.
I kind of like that. That'd be nice.
Even simpler, you could have Decker and Ilea there.
Yeah, and maybe even Zahn. I don't know. Go crazy.
But yeah, but something that's essentially teasing V'ger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
But you just maybe sort of transitions, and since it's maybe the last one, you're sort of saying tipping the hat and like,
right.
Yeah, they're gonna do the whole movie universe.
Right, exactly.
In the comics, of course. It'll be in the comics, but.
All right.
See you in the funny papers.
All right. Well, that was fun. I liked how we gave a lot of nods to the television shows in the next gen ones, like Voyager and Enterprise and Deep Space Nine, bending it a little bit at times, but I think it'll put those characters and some of those scenes on the big screen, which, hey, if they're not even getting a movie, at least they can get as an after credit scene. So, Philip, what are we talking about next week?
Well, Darren, speaking of tying in things together, of course, September 2017 marks the 30th anniversary of our favorite Star Trek series, Star Trek The Next Generation. And so what better way to celebrate that than in true fashion with a game show with two very special guests. So we hope everyone will join us as Daniel and Darren maybe see some crossovers they've met before and see if they can defeat this pair in Star Trek The Next Generation 30th Anniversary Game Show.
I'm going to start my rewatch right now.
We've never won.
Just power binge. But it's next gen. I mean, we can get that one, Daniel.
Well, we'll see. You're more optimistic than I am.
Put your credits down now. Bidding starts at 5 Quetlus. Well, Philip, if someone wanted to pester you to find out who those special two guests were, where would they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter, where my handle is at NC Public Servant. That's NC for no continuity.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about your Enterprise A V'ger fanfic, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter at 1UpDan. That's the number one, not the word.
Now, the way you phrase that, like, is the Enterprise A in a ship with Voyager or slash?
With V'ger? Yeah.
V'ger.
Okay. That's weird.
And if someone wanted to find me to talk science fiction, they can find me on Twitter at username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.